Happy Sabbath, God's people, again.
Sabbath.
Yes, we must count our blessings. Don't forget that, particularly when we're feeling down. The title of the message today is Faith. Faith. And we want to answer three questions. One, what is it? What is faith? Two, how do we get it? And three, how does faith affect our lives? So, without faith, we're not going to be in the kingdom. And faith helps us every day to walk the walk and strengthens us. So we want to study about faith so we understand it better and we can learn more in our walk with God. The dictionary definition for faith, it means firm belief in something, a firm belief for which there is no proof, something that you believe in which there is no proof. It also means complete trust. When you have faith, you have complete trust. And but let's look at it also means something that is believed, especially with strong convictions. But let's look at the Bible definition of faith. We go to Hebrews 11, verse 1, please. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. We believe in God, but we don't see God. But we know that God exists. We know that Jesus Christ lives in us through his Holy Spirit. But we can't see the Spirit. But we know it. It's the evidence of things not seen. We know it. We believe it. It's the substance of things hoped for. We hope for the kingdom of God to come, and we know it will. Substance. We know it will. We have the substance of what we're hoping for. We know that Christ is going to return, and it's going to be the resurrection. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So, as we let's go on and take a look at what is faith a little further. Romans 3. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures, so be good if you could write them down, so you could maybe review them later on. Romans 3. And verse 21, Romans 3 and verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So when we have faith in Jesus Christ, we receive his righteousness. So faith is God's righteousness in us, God's righteousness, which is by faith. So again, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You might say, I don't feel righteous, but the Bible tells us that if we have God's Holy Spirit, this by faith of if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we have the righteousness of God in us, the righteousness of God. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, we're saved by his grace, his favor, his pardon, his mercy. Whom God hath set forth, Jesus, to be a propitiation or atonement through faith in his blood. So we have faith in the blood of Christ, his blood shed for us as an atonement for our sins. Atonement. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So our sins, when we accept Jesus Christ, the sins of the past are forgiven. And we're not under the death penalty. All the death penalty that we deserve for our sins is taken away by Christ being nailed to the cross and dying for us. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. So when we believe in Jesus, it's called justification. We accept his blood. Jesus died for us. He's the substitute. It's called justification. And we're made right with God at that point. We're made right with God. We receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You know, the Jews who don't believe in Jesus Christ, they're not justified by the deeds of the law. Because there's only one name under heaven that we may be saved, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. So we're justified by faith. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid we establish the law. Because when God gives us faith and when we receive Jesus Christ and his righteousness, then we establish the law in the sense that we have his spirit and we're going to bear the fruit of the spirit. We're going to do good works. Good works. Christ demands that we do good works. So we have to follow his law, the law of the new covenant, which is a spiritual law, based on the Ten Commandments, but it's a spiritual application of it. Go to James 2 and verse 14, taking a look at faith. James 2 and verse 14. By the way, if you have any questions about the sermon later on, we could talk about it in the Bible study. Before the Bible study starts, we could, if you have any questions. James 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, I'll pray for you. Notwithstanding, we don't give them the things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So what is faith? Faith is demonstrated, is something, a belief, the evidence of things not seen, our conviction, based on our works, produces works, because that's how we show our faith. You can talk the talk all you want, but that doesn't show your faith. It's just a good talker, and you might know the Bible and some phrases that will impress people or scriptures. Yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And you believe that there is one God? You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. They believe in God. But will you know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? You know, when the Bible says things more than once, you got to pay real attention. He's going to say this three times. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Wow. You know, we could be friends of God. Remember Jesus said to the disciples, you know, you're my friends because I've told you everything my Father has told me. You know, so we want to have that intimate relationship with God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also is not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Three times. So the body, if we don't have the human spirit, we're dead. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're dead also, because we won't be in the kingdom if we don't have the if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we'll experience a second death. So the body without the Spirit is dead. So faith without works is also dead. Something you really have to think about. And 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we're kept by the power of God. His Holy Spirit is his power. We're kept by the power of God through faith. And faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith or faithfulness. It's faithfulness. The New King James says faithfulness. The King James, New King James says faith. It's pretty much the same thing. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So this tells us that our faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tested through trials that we go through. And God will help us to get through those trials. But, you know, there are some that fall away because of the trials. And, you know, Adam and Eve had to be tested. They failed. Israel was tested. They failed. Jesus Christ was tested, and he passed the test with Satan. But our faith has to be tested. God has to know. And like with Abraham, when Abraham, you know, went to bring the knife down on Isaac, God stopped that. He says, now I know. Now I know that you will obey me and that you have faith. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So the end of your faith, if we walk in faith, the end will be salvation. We walk in faith, we develop the character of Jesus Christ, the mind of Jesus Christ, we're doing good works, we're loving others as Jesus did. The end is salvation. The salvation of our souls will be in the first resurrection and in the kingdom of God. So that's a little bit about what is faith. Now, how do we get faith? How do we get this faith? We can't work it up ourselves. We can't work it up ourselves. And it's not the same. You have to have God's Holy Spirit to have the spiritual faith. I mean, you know, we could say, well, we have faith in things. Well, I heard this analogy. When you came in and sat down, you had faith that the chair wasn't going to break apart, right? You had faith that you sat down. So, you know, that's different. But we're talking about spiritual faith now. So how do we get it? Well, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author of our faith. God the Father calls us, but Jesus lives in us. He's the author of our faith and finisher of our faith. So if we stay close to Jesus and we walk the walk, he'll lead us to salvation. He'll help us to walk each day in faith. But remember, we have free will, and the flesh is sometimes pulls us in other directions. But for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him. Remember, Christ didn't, the flesh didn't want to be crucified, remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane? But the Spirit was willing, and Christ was looking at the joy after it was all over. And the joy of his sacrifice being the atonement for the sins of the world and the opportunity to know God and to be in the kingdom. That was joy. Despising the shame, and is set forth at the right hand of the throne of God. Romans 10. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how do we get it? Here's one way, the main way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So today, right now, you're hearing the word of God, and this should be building your faith. The topic is faith. And so when we hear the word of God, when we're listening to sermons at home, listening to the sermons in the car, when we are talking with each other about the word of God, it's building our faith. It's building our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Now that I'm retired, I have time. I listen to 3 or 4 sermons a day, usually. Not just UCG, CGI also. And something comes along that's interesting, I'll listen to it. Ephesians 2 and 8, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves is the gift of God. So faith is a gift of God, just like his grace. And so when we obey God, he gives us faith. And by the hearing of his word and by the doing of his word, and as we grow closer to him, he gives us more faith, more faith. It's a gift of God. That's how, you know, that's how we get it. We obey God, we follow God. It's his gift to us to lead us to salvation, because we can't do it on our own. 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. So, you know, don't take it for granted. You know, we have to examine ourselves all the time, you know. Are we bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Are we loving others with agape love? Are we being kind? Are we being good to people? Do we have self-control? Do we have patience? Examine yourself. Are we loving others as Christ loved us? Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. We have to do that because, you know, we could be more in the world than you think you are. We're really more in the world than you think you are. And the more time you spend in the world, the less faith you'll really have, because the world will be pulling you in other directions. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Reprobates means be disqualified. Certainly if you're disqualified, you know that Jesus Christ is not in you. But know you not yourselves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. We have to have that faith. Jesus Christ is living in us through the Holy Spirit. We have to have that faith. That's very, very, very important. So this is how we get faith. Jesus is the author and finisher. We have to hear the word of God, and it's a gift of God, and we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we are walking in faith and have that faith. Now, how does faith affect our lives? So we've gone over what faith is, how do we get it, how does it affect our lives? We go to Romans 5 and verse 1. Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, again, we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So our faith gives us access into God's grace. If we're obeying him, if we're following him, he gives us more favor, more grace. And so by faith, we have access by faith unto God's grace, more of God's grace. Romans 1, verse 17. Romans 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. So we have to live by faith. It becomes a way of life, a way of life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. For if we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, very, very important again, the idea that how it affects our lives. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, something seems enticing that we want, but faith tells us no, it's a sin, or it's going to lead to sin. We avoid it. We walk by faith. We don't let other people influence us into sin or into temptation. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. But God tells us what is right, what is wrong. We know that. His laws are in our hearts and minds through His Spirit. And we walk by faith. Even when others are telling us, for example, you might you have a new job and you've got to take off on the Sabbath and your boss is giving you a hard time. That's when your faith is really tested, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. Galatians 2, verse 16. It's not always easy to do what's right and to do what God wants us to do. Galatians 2, verse 16. Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Again, the Jews are a perfect example. They keep the law, but they don't believe in Christ, and so they don't have faith. And so they are not justified by the works of the law. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Verse 20. Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I have by the faith of the Son of God. So Christ lives in us. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And Paul's saying, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So we're justified by faith. God's faith. We go to Galatians 3, verse 5. Galatians 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So because Abraham is the father of the faithful, we are grafted into the tree of life, if you will, into spiritual Israel by the faith of Abraham. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. That's interesting. God preached the gospel to Abraham. In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's us. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Curse of Deuteronomy 28. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. Promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, you are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So again, we are all one in Christ, and if we are one in Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs. We're heirs according to the promise. Heirs, as Israel. We're heirs according to the promise that we're God's children, and we're going to be in the kingdom if we keep the faith. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. And, you know, we're going to, as we walk the walk, we're going to be attacked by this world, by people in the world, whether on the job, unfortunately, our own family. You know, even Christ said, you know, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, in the sense that, you know, members of your own family are going to be against you. You know, you're going to be persecuted. So we have to take the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So this is in Ephesians 6, it's just talking about the armor of God. And one is the shield of faith, the spiritual shield of faith. So that whatever Satan is throwing at us, we continue to go forward, and we are protecting ourselves from harm by the shield of faith, the shield of faith. Spiritual shield, where all his darts will not penetrate, like a force field, figuratively. We take the shield of faith, and we walk the walk. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly. So our faith grows. When we first come into the church, we are on a certain faith level, and as we spiritually grow, our faith grows. Because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds, or the love for one another abounds. Verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would account you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power. So, we have to walk the walk, and God will allow us to work with faith with power. And that power is the Holy Spirit. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So our faith must grow, we must walk worthy. Colossians 1 and verse 21. Colossians 1. And verse 21. Colossians 1, 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you now hath he reconciled. So we're reconciled to God through faith and baptism. The old man dies in that watery grave, symbolically. And we come up a new man. And he's reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death. So Christ's sacrifice, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherein I, Paul, am made a minister. So we have to continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel, the hope of the gospel, the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Be careful, you know, what you believe. Be careful about messages out there that are not godly. And don't let it deceive you. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So some will depart from the faith. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So the love of money can cause our, can hurt our faith in God. It can cause us to depart from the faith. So we're not to love money, even Christ told us, right? We can't serve God and mammon. Lay up your treasures in heaven through your good works. So, and they appear themselves true with many sorrows. Because money isn't going to give you salvation. You know, can't take it with you. And many times, people who have money, they're not happy. They're not happy. They're divorced, married many times, alienated from their children, whatever it may be. So we can't have happiness if we don't have God in our life. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 18. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So again, the idea that we have to be very careful of doctrines that are out there. Here, there were those that were teaching that the resurrection is past already. Christ is resurrected, and that's it. Nobody else is going to be resurrected. Remember, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. So we have that today. You know, you have to speak in tongues and some unknown language in order to have the Holy Spirit. If you're not an Israelite by birth, if you don't have descendants to the original Israelites, you're not going to be saved. You have to be careful about this, about what you're hearing out there. The Sabbath is only the daylight portions of the day. There's a lot out there that's really... And I know people are concerned about the calendar, whether we're keeping the right days or not, but, you know, come on. You know, you want to stick to what the Bible tells us. People are looking for secret truths, you know, and, you know, keep it simple, you know. Don't be wandering off into other areas. And, you know, you can overthrow the faith of others by believing in some false doctrine and then trying to convince others that, you know, that's the truth. You could overthrow the faith of others. James 1 and verse 2. James 1 and verse 2. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations or trials. That word can mean trials. So, you know, again, that's a spiritual feeling to have joy when you fall into trials. But, you know, what he's trying to say here is that no matter what we're going through, we should have God's joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit. So no matter how sick we are, what our circumstances are, it's only temporary. And, you know, we should always be looking towards the kingdom of God and what's coming, the resurrection, serving in the kingdom, living forever under God and Jesus Christ. That is what gives us joy. So whatever we're going through, you know, it's just temporary. It fails in comparison to the joy that we have, we will have. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. So when our faith is being tried, it can benefit us because it works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. You know, and many times God will allow something to, a trial to, for us to experience in a trial because he's chastening us. Now, he's not causing a trial, but he's allowing you to make bad decisions and allowing this trial to come on you. Why? Because we're children of God, and God loves us. And so he chastens us when we're going the wrong way. He doesn't want to lose us. He wants to correct us. And so there are times when our faith is tested. There's times when it's tested by our own foolishness, our wrong decisions, our sin. But at other times, it's tested by God in the sense that he is allowing something to come on you. For example, God allowed Satan to inflict Job, you know. And that was testing Job's faith. Because God had said to Satan, you know, have you considered Job? He's a righteous man. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. For if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. But what son is he whom the Father chastens not? So God loves us, and so he will chasten us, allow us to be corrected by trials. And if you go to 1 Peter 5, verse 9, as we wind down, I should say. 1 Peter 5, verse 9. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. First Peter 5 and verse 9. Talking about the devil now, you know, Satan's out there, but he has no power over us. He can try to deceive us, but, you know, if he does, it's our fault. He has no power over us. We have God's Spirit and everything that goes with it, and we should be able to discern between what's right and wrong. And in verse 9, talking about Satan, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So when we're going through trials, we want to resist the devil, who's going to be telling us, you know, God has forsaken you, God doesn't care about you, God doesn't hear your prayers. Resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, which, you know, whatever's going on in your life, it's going on in other people's lives too. So you're not the only one. Like Elijah, just remember, you're not the only one. Elijah thought he was all alone. And God said, no, I have 7,000 others who haven't bowed to Baal. And let's go to the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. He's speaking in the sense that we're still talking about Abel. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, should not see death doesn't mean he didn't die, but God took him somewhere where he should not see death around him. But he died eventually. No one goes to heaven. And was not found. He was not found. Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Very critical verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. You have to work at it, seeking God. You know, it's not saying a two-minute prayer. You accept God in your heart, and that's it. And you're saved. No. He is a rewarder that diligently seeking. You have to obey him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should, after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. We all know the story. God called him out, and he went with his family. He didn't know where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I believe that's the New Jerusalem. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Although she first laughed though when she heard about it. But therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea, sure, innumerable. Verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called. He had faith, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So Isaac believed God. So in his mind, if he did kill Isaac, he believed that God could raise him up. And of course God could. And he had faith that either way, the promise would be kept. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He wanted his bones to be buried outside of Egypt. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So, if Moses had stayed in Egypt, he would have had a very nice life, so to speak. A sinful life, but a nice life, in the sense of the world. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Now, Christ would mean Messiah. Esteeming the reproach of the Messiah greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible, or God. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians were saying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were recompensed about 7 days. By faith, the hall at Rahab, here she's mentioned again, perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak. It's in the book of Judges. And of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Verse 39. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So they didn't receive the promise of the kingdom, because the kingdom's not here yet, and God's not ready. And so he wants more of his people included in this report of faith. And then the promise will be given. And 2 Peter 1, verse 5, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So we have to add morality, God's moral way of life, to our faith, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, which is self-control, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful for the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it starts with faith. It starts with faith. And the last scripture, 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God or begotten of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.